The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my command, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command you, I no longer call you servants. A servant does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, it was I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. This is my command, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. I mentioned on Wednesday that we will be with, in our first reading, with the Acts of the Apostles for another couple of weeks, right up until Pentecost. So let me just reflect very briefly on this first reading we have from the book of Acts. As you know, the Acts of the Apostles are a diary or a chronicle of the church in the apostolic times up until about the year 65, when Paul was imprisoned in Rome. So listen to what we learned from the Acts of the Apostles reading today. There was great tension in the church, and the tension had to do with change. We still have tension in the church about change. And so the church in Antioch, St. Paul and Barnabas go up to Jerusalem, and the church of Jerusalem, the governing church, gets together and says, "Well, we should think about this. We have people on both sides here. Some very legalistic people and others who wanted some change." And the big issue was, since the first followers of Jesus were all Jewish, were all Jews, now Gentiles began to come into focus and join the community. And the big question was, do they have to become Jews first? And there was a legalistic community that said they cannot become followers of Christ or members of the church unless they become Jews first. And that became the big controversy, which occasioned the first council of the church, the Council of Jerusalem. Well, after much reflection and prayer to the Holy Spirit, the church decides we must change. And therefore, they send a delegation, Paul and Barnabas and some others, back to Antioch to say, "We have decided that change is necessary. However, there are a few things that need to be observed, like you can't eat the meat of strangled animals and things like that." So they kept a little piece of the Mosaic Law. Now, what it teaches us is that change happens, and people struggle with change. Even in our church today, you know, the very early church, people struggle with change. Today, we still struggle with change. Some people want to hang on to what was there, but change happens. Whether we like it or not, change happens. Change will happen at Holy Family in the next month or two. Get a new pastor and things will change. We have to understand that change happens. What's very interesting, if you look at the history of the church and the tension that happened throughout the history of the church in terms of change. There's an extraordinary intellectual fellow named John T. Noonan. John T. Noonan died 4 years ago. He was 90 years old. He was an extraordinary intellectual. He was a judge of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, but also he had a doctorate in philosophy and theology, and he taught at Notre Dame. Not law, he taught theology at Notre Dame. So he's an extraordinary fellow. And I came upon a book which he wrote, oh, it's about 20 years ago now, called The Church That Can and Cannot Change. And I was so impressed by the book, I invited John T. Noonan to come and speak to us at Holy Family, which indeed he did. And in this book, he speaks about change in recent times in the church. And he deals with four areas in which the church has significantly changed. We may not notice it, but it has. First one was slavery. There was a time when slavery was quite acceptable in the church, and the church actually had slaves. The second was usury. Biblically, usury was considered sinful, and that was to loan money and look for interest on the money. That was considered sinful. That changed. The third one was marriage laws. Annulments. I mean, when I was ordained a long time ago, nobody could get an annulment. It was impossible to get an annulment. But now we are more enlightened now. We are more informed by psychology and by understanding the human person, and we have changed significantly in the idea of marriage and remarriage. And the last one was freedom of conscience. Became a huge issue in the Second Vatican Council, which happened when I was ordained in 1965. I was ordained in 64. They were writing post-conciliar documents. And of course, I was young enough. I was 24. And I was able to make the adjustment very easily. But matter of conscience, the freedom of an individual conscience, became a huge issue in the Second Vatican Council. And there's a document written on the freedom of conscience. These are four areas in which Noonan really discusses in his book, The Church That Can and Cannot Change. We're changing. Sometimes we fight the change, but change is happening. And by the way, you will notice historically, even in the present day, change never comes from the top down. Change always comes from the bottom up. It comes from the people. It comes from the lives of the people, the struggles, the pains, the hopes, and the dreams of people. And then it goes up through the authority of the church. And finally, the church confirms what was actually pastoral practice. That's happening even today. The change never comes from the top down. I mean, the Pope doesn't get up someday and say, I think I had a revelation last night, and now we should change something. Change comes from the bottom up. You'll see that in the Acts of the Apostles. It's good for us to believe deep in our souls that the Holy Spirit is the power of the church. It's not us. It's not my opinion. It's not your opinion. It's not somebody bishop's opinion. It's a movement of the Holy Spirit in the church. No. And it's very important for us to listen. For me, as a priest working in a parish, to listen to the people, the pains, the struggles, the dreams, the hopes of people. The Holy Spirit speaks through the lives of every person in some way. Now, in the Buddhist tradition, there's a story told about a group of monks. And each evening when they went to prayer, they had a cat. But the cat would walk around and interrupt the monk's meditation. So the sacristan monk was told, before evening prayer, you have to tie up the cat. Put in the sacristy, like the dog. We tie up the cat, because the cat is distracting the monks. So that's the way it was for a while. And in due time, the cat died. But they couldn't begin evening prayer without tying up a cat, so they got another cat, because somehow it became part of the evening prayer. Tie up the cat, and then we pray. That's when people resist change. Change happens. Surrender to the power of the Spirit. Walk in the power of Jesus Christ. And we will have no fear of change. That's what we learn from the very early church. It appears in the reading today from the Acts of the Apostles. Have no fear. It's not my wisdom. It's not your wisdom. It's not the wisdom of any person in the church. It's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit speaks through the church, through the authority of the church, but also the Spirit reveals through the lives of faithful people, their dreams, their hopes, their prayers. Keep that in mind. Never fear change. Be rooted strong in your faith. When I was young, if you questioned something in the church, it was a sign your faith was weak. Now, if you question something in the church, it may be a sign that your faith is strong. It's strong enough to ask a question. The person who can't handle a question, it's not a sign of strong faith, it's a sign of insecurity. Keep this in mind. Your children, your grandchildren, they're changing. They're not where we are. We have to listen to that somehow. That's a challenge. Amen.